What's your pleasure, sir?
The podcast.
Take it. It's yours. It always was.
Welcome to A Taste of Hell. Now playing Hellraiser Retrospective Series.
We have such sights to show you.
With Jacob, Stuart, and Arnie.
Demons to some, angels to others.
Hello, now playing listeners, and this is Arnie.
Stuart.
This is Jacob, and we're on a, highway to hell?
We are. We can count down the weeks to Christmas in Hellraiser movies.
The advent calendar I never wanted to eat.
But can you open it?
Yeah, we'll be opening up a very big box here, and I think I know what I'm getting a lot of the times, but we're starting with, probably, I think it's no surprise, the best one, in my opinion, Hellraiser, the original, a bona fide classic.
Absolutely. This is the most requested franchise anymore, the last seminal horror series for now playing to do, and we decided this was a good year, the 30th anniversary of the original Hellraiser. It actually got some theatrical re-release screenings in the States and in the UK. I'm really excited to be talking about this movie and Stuart and my history with the films and Clive Barker.
And I'm excited to visit a film I've never seen that scared the hell out of me as a kid because of Pinhead.
Just the poster?
Oh, yeah, just that image of nails in the head scared me as a, 10-year-old.
Well, maybe the listeners haven't seen it either. Why don't we give them a sample of the show? They can see if they're ready for the whole thing.
It's a haunted house, and she is sensing some kind of presence there even before the body's there. But this time, she does hear something, and the skeletal body convinces her, go kill for me and I'll fuck you again, is the basic conversation.
Is this first corpse version of Frank? Is this a puppet or is this an actor with makeup? Is this the same actor that played Frank? Because he sounds different. Maybe he's just trying to do a scary zombie voice. But I'm like, how does Julia know? I guess he's going to say I'm Frank. But that's a big leap to take.
There's like four actors who play Frank in this. There's Sean Chapman, who is Frank in the flashback scenes and with the hair and
back tattoo.
You never hear his voice, though, because he's English.
Yes, I could tell.
Oh, okay. So they overdubbed him.
And it's the same voice actor for all of this, but he tried to use a raspier voice for this Frank. They had another guy who was like 90 pounds who plays skinless Frank, and they did that so that when they put the latex over him, he looks like Frank would be if you removed the skin. There's one scene where it's a child, but I believe this scene is the really thin guy in the first stage of the makeup, but it's very heavy makeup and the mouth doesn't move all that well.
And then, of course, there's Dennis Hopper. I gotta say, this is the first time watching this movie I realized what a large shadow Blue Velvet is casting over this. That we essentially have Dorothy Valens and Frank. He's even going to say, don't look at me. I mean, when she comes into that room, it's a masochistic relationship in which a woman is going to be pushed to extremes to have this affair. I have to believe that Clive had just seen Blue Velvet the year before.
Well, see, you're thinking Blue Velvet. I was thinking Eating Raoul, where it's this couple in love, like, using sex to murder people to get something they want.
This was filmed in 86, so it's possible he saw it in 86 and then went to the set and took some of the concepts. But
the fact that he's called Frank, that's hard to ignore.
Now, that was written in 85.
Yeah, still, though. And then, of course, the word Frank means to be out there and up front. So I guess it just always works if you have a character that's going to push boundaries and be progressive.
But what does Rory mean? Because that was the original character's name for Larry, and New World was like, no, let's make him a Larry.
It means you're in England. There are no Rorys in America.
Yeah, Larry just sounds kind of a boring square name.
This is my favorite part of the movie. I realize it's controversial. I realize it's not what's on the poster. I realize that people buy action figures of Pinhead and not Julia.
They sell Julia figures.
But to me, the crux of this story is about a woman that loves this man so much that even with him skinned and grotesque and her physically repulsed, the memory of who he could be and that he could be that again is going to push her into being a murderess. It's really cool.
Yeah, this is the plot of the movie. This is what works. This is what I think, coming back to it this time, is this drama. I still think, and I said this in Books and Nachos, it's worse in the book, but it's still bad here, that, oh, look, there's this creepy-ass thing in the attic. Let me go make human sacrifices to it. But I think that the love triangle and the drama, the human drama here, and Julia as the villainess, and understand, that's what Clive Barker saw, too. He wanted, and we'll talk about this more in future shows, or at least two more, he wanted Julia to become the female Freddy Krueger. He never saw Pinhead as the one who would be continuing on. He was wrong, but Julia was his villain here.
This is basically Jason's mother in the first Friday the 13th. Like, that's how it starts with its villain.
Yeah, and I agree. I think this works really well. And you talked about Barker as a director. One thing I think he still does also well is some weird imagery. Every time Christy goes to sleep, we're treated to a dream sequence that happens right after Julia agrees to kill as the first one, where she's at some strange dinner party, there's babies crying, there's a sheet getting soaked with blood, there's her dad with his head bashed in, later on there's roses opening.
Yeah, they keep doing this thing with the baby crying, and I was waiting for that to come in somehow. I don't know, Julia gets pregnant with Zombie Frank's baby. I don't know. I kept thinking that was going to come back, but it's just part of the imagery.
I'm already on record on this. Go listen to the Halloween 2 Rob Zombie. I hate when they do. It feels like filler. As everything about Kirsty feels, this is a way to elongate a short story, what should be a half-hour Tales from the Crypt. It would be a perfect size for that. Instead, we have to elongate it with, yeah, these stupid, meaningless dream sequences full of creepy, capital C, images.
It's not just that. It's like you'll keep seeing this bum that's following her, and that's really just for a stinger at the end. It doesn't matter, but like you'll see her at work at the pet store, and he'll come in and like eat some crickets.
All right, when I watched this the very first time in 89, and my sister's there who's a literature professor and teaching me to think about allegories and things like that, I thought this was Jesus.
It is.
And I thought it was, no, it can't be.
Evil Jesus?
Evil Jesus.
Yeah, no, I that's exactly how I take it.
I thought it was homeless Jesus.
I did think he was going to be a hero by the end.
Yeah, I did too. I thought he would be the one to stand against the Cenobites. No, he's the keeper of the box. He's the one who keeps the box in circulation. He's the one who's setting people up. He is in league with the, what's your pleasure, sir?
But why does he follow Kirsty around? She doesn't know about the box. She has nothing to do with the box until the very end. I guess if he is Jesus, he just knows the future.
So if you'd like to hear this entire show, over 2 hours discussing Hellraiser and Clive Barker, as well as the entire Hellraiser retrospective series, there's a few ways you can get it. The first is by being a Now Playing Gold, Platinum, or Playing Level donor. Gold is $25 or more, paid through PayPal to us. You're going to get all 5 of the Phantasm reviews we've been doing, and then each week from now through Christmas, we'll be opening up a new box of Hellraiser as we go through the 4 theatrical and the 5 direct-to-video films.
It's going to make that gift from Grandma look great by comparison.
It's funny because I don't know how many of you follow me on Facebook, but every single year for like the past 7 years, I've worn a Pinhead shirt of him opening the box on Christmas. Like, it's him opening a present. That's my holiday shirt. So you can open the box with our podcast that day as well. If you go Platinum, you'll also, after Christmas, perfect for New Year's, get 3 Jeepers Creepers reviews. And if you go Playing, we've also done 7 Child's Play reviews. Those are all available now as well. That's for $45 or more. All the details can be found by clicking the banner at the top of our homepage, nowplayingpodcast.com. You can also get these by being a patron of $25 or more, or individually through our Podbean page. So you can find all those links at our donation page as well. And if you have any questions, come to Facebook, come to Twitter, come to the forums, and let us know. We could really appreciate your support this holiday season. We have just almost finalized some plans for 2018, and it's going to be another big year as we go into areas of cinema we've never even thought about going to before. some more highly requested films, so we could use your support to do that. Every dollar you donate makes this show better.
And join us for Totally Free Tuesdays. We're getting to the third Thor movie, Ragnarok. Hope you can listen to us then.
Not leaving us so soon, are you?
This is Retrospective Series, and your suffering will be legendary, even in hell.
This isn't for your eyes.
It's not hands that call us. It is donations.
Oh, come. Oh, you can hear its faint echo right now. I'm here to turn up the volume.
Your financial support keeps this show going for eternity.
Why resist? You love this as much as I.
You will find more pleasures and sweet, sweet suffering in the Now Playing Archives. You can satiate your appetites with reviews of Leprechaun, Child's Play, Phantasm, and so many more.
Feel free. Explore. We have eternity. Oh, your flesh.
For the insatiable, join the Podbean campaign and get exclusive movie reviews, including Clive Barker's Lord of Illusions and Get Out. A link to our Patreon page is at nowplayingpodcast.com/donate.
Still hungry? Ready for something that screams?
The Hellraiser films, all audio clips and music used, are the property of their respective copyright holders, and no infringement is intended.
Hell is more ordered since your time, Princess, and much less amusing.
Vendanza Media Incorporated is not affiliated with the motion picture review or otherwise referred to herein.
I know your fear. I hear it.
The trademarks Now Playing and Now Playing Podcast are the exclusive property of Vendanza Media Incorporated.
Oh, you suffer beautifully. But I am here for business, not pleasure.
The opinions expressed on Now Playing are those of the individual hosts and may not reflect the opinion of Vendanza Media Incorporated.
The eternal refrain of humanity. Pleading ignorance, begging for mercy. Please help me, I don't understand.
Now Playing is a Vendanza Media production, copyright 2017. All rights reserved, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Vendanza Media Incorporated.
Welcome to the worst nightmare of all. Reality.